Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You could use a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast, but it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, France 24, NHK Japan, and Radio Havana Cuba. We will begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. The far-right alternative political party in Germany is called the AfD. They have wanted to connect with Donald Trump's MAGA party for years and had a weekend bash in New York City with young Republicans. The current German Chancellor Friedrich Merz spoke about the deteriorating relationship between the U.S. and Europe. Deutsche Welle spoke with members of the AfD and Young Republicans at the Black Tie Gala. Trump ordered a blockade of Venezuelan oil tankers that he had sanctioned in his first term. President Maduro spoke to his supporters. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
The far-right Alternative for Germany party has long sought to cozy up to Donald Trump's MAGA movement in the U.S. Those efforts were once again on display this weekend at a black tie gala in New York, hosted by the Young Republican Club. It's a key date for MAGA-aligned Republicans and international far-right figures for whom the Trump administration has been signaling growing support. And that is something European leaders like Germany's Friedrich Merz are increasingly uneasy with.
The relationship between Berlin and Washington continues to deteriorate.
The decades of the Pax Americana are largely over for us in Europe, and also for us in Germany as well. It no longer exists as we knew it, and nostalgia won't change that.
But there is one notable exception. The growing cooperation between the Trump administration and Germany's far-right AfD was on full display at a gala hosted by the New York Young Republican Club. AfD politician Markus Frohnmeier was honored for his work in what organizers call a hostile political environment in Germany. At home, parts of his party are monitored as extremists. Here in New York, he is welcomed, alongside calls to tear down Germany's political firewall, a consensus among Germany's main political parties that the far-right must never be allowed in government again.
A fantastic evening. The call to tear down the firewall resonated here. Our U.S. allies, during the meetings I've had over the last 2 days, recognize the problem in Germany. And there's a strong willingness to change course.
A change, of course, Frohnmeier hopes to pursue in his own political future, with elections coming up in his home state.
The U.S. is one of our most important, if not the most important, trading partners, especially for my home state of Baden-Württemberg. I want to be the next state premier there, and that's only possible if we work with our partners.
For members of the Young Republican Party, how they feel about this new bond between their party and the AfD. Good evening. Could I ask you a quick question? My name is Ines Pohler. I'm with Deutsche Welle. This is Germany's international broadcaster. What do you make of the new connection between the AfD? Yeah. Are you not allowed to talk?
Those who were willing to speak explained why they believe the relationship with the AfD is deepening.
We believe in traditional values here. We want the foreigners out, whether that's America or Europe. We're tired of being replaced. We want to preserve the culture and the traditions that we've built. And I don't know why people have a problem with that.
The great replacement theory that has soared in popularity among the far right in Europe and the US holds that political elites are deliberately introducing non-white migrants into Europe to supplant the white race. The AfD party members attending the gala praised their shared goals and what they see is a growing partnership with the Trump administration.
The AfD in Germany and Trump and the MAGA movement in the United States. This is part of a global turning point.
We can see that the current US government is very committed to freedom and also to protecting the rights of citizens. And this is also very important in Germany because freedom of expression is massively threatened in Germany.
For those hoping this alliance may be short-lived, the mood here suggests otherwise.
I look forward to maintaining this relationship over time. I think that even past, you know, Trump's term, even past his successor, I think we'll keep this strong relationship because, you know, we want to help them in whatever ways we can.
President Donald Trump has ordered a blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers heading in and out of Venezuela. Caracas has condemned the move, which is seen as putting more U.S. pressure on the government of President Nicolas Maduro. Last week, the U.S. seized an oil tanker off Venezuela's coast as it continues its military buildup in the Caribbean. Trump claims Venezuela uses oil to fund crime and is vowing the blockade will continue until the country returns, quote, oil, land, and assets to the U.S. Venezuela is home to the world's largest proven oil reserves. It relies on crude exports to survive. Well, shortly before Trump's blockade announcement, Maduro spoke to his supporters and he accused the U.S. of stealing Venezuelan natural resources.
Imperialism and right-wing Nazi fascists want to colonize Venezuela to take our wealth. Our oil, our gas, our gold, iron, aluminium, and other minerals. We have sworn to defend our homeland. And in Venezuela, peace will always prevail, along with stability and shared happiness for our people.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary, as well as most podcast sites, as is the shortwave report. Next, France 24. Defense One is a trade website for the military-industrial complex. They released what they say is a more complete version of the new national security strategy, which the White House claims is not real. Most European media covered the story, and here is a press review on it. The document says that the United States should focus on four nations that have right-wing governments, that is Austria, Hungary, Italy, and Poland, and get them to leave the European Union. A review of European media response. A report on the physical state of Palestinians during the current winter weather. France 24.
So you've been looking at this leak from the US media Defense One about Trump's national security strategy.
Yeah, that's right. So Defense One is a website that pretty much reports on U.S. defense policy and news and so forth. So this website has leaked details from what it says is a still classified national security strategy. It reports that in that strategy, Trump expressed a desire to, quote, make Europe great again by focusing U.S. relationships on four nations in Europe which have, you know, similar right-wing governments, Austria, Hungary, Italy, and Poland, with the goal of pulling them away from the EU. As the Times of London elaborates in this article here, the leaked files show that the US want to persuade the four nations to leave the EU. That strategy also included the idea of a Core 5 or a C5 group that is made up of the US, China, Russia, India, and Japan, a group which would meet regularly for summits like the G7 do. Their first order of business would be to normalize relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, the Times noting that the White House, for its part, has denied the existence of any kind of classified version, saying the only version is a published one.
Curious. And it sparked some strong opinions in the press as well.
It has indeed. There's an interesting article here from The Guardian today. John Crace writing in this article that, his question is, where on earth is Parliament? He says that Donald Trump's threats, for instance, to destabilize European democracies, support far-right nationalists, withdrawal from NATO, support Russia, all of this constitute a, quote, moment of existential crisis for Europe. It's time to wake up, he says, because when the U.S. president says this kind of thing, then you had better believe that he's going to follow through with it.
And MAGA continues to court the far right across Europe.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the Times of London still today, which looks at how Donald Trump's MAGA allies are cultivating a European resistance. The Times, of course, reminding us that earlier this week, a delegation of 20 MPs from the AfD, radical right-wing AfD party in Germany, traveled to the U.S. Their foreign policy spokesman is also on very good terms with Moscow, hence why the Times says here, drinks parties with the Russians and scathing criticism of centrist governments could morph into Cold War-esque interference across the continent. At least those are some of the fears that certain countries might have. The Wall Street Journal's editors, for its part, looks at the real reason for the decay of Europe in this editorial today. It says that Washington could have a positive influence on Europe. For instance, Donald Trump's demand for more defense spending could spearhead welfare reforms. However, courting the European far right could ironically be counterproductive. The editorial's warning that these parties are often instinctively anti-American and anti-economic reform.
When Storm Byron hit Gaza, its wind and rain wrought havoc. Residents clung to their tents to no avail under the extreme conditions. Mahmoud has been living in a room in the shelled-out Gaza City building with 11 other people, because they have no other place to go. The war-battered structures, together with extreme weather, have produced another imminent threat.
When we hear about a house collapsing on its residents because of the rain, we go to sleep feeling anxious, because our house is also at risk of collapsing due to the rain.
His fears are well-founded as the death toll continues to rise from unsafe falling buildings and the effects of the cold. Meanwhile, in Khan Yunis, aid groups try to feed residents as best they can.
More than 15 or 20,000 people come to this place each day to eat from this charity kitchen, which was established through efforts of individuals and local charities. The food is distributed free of charge to people who do not have basic necessities in their tents.
Though formidable, the effort pales in comparison to the needs of residents, as they are not even sure to get a meal.
It takes me about 6 hours to get a bite of food. Sometimes I'm lucky and I manage to bring food back to my family. But other times, I get nothing, and I return empty-handed.
The UN announced on Monday that an estimated 1.3 million people in the Strip are in need of shelter and warned of the increasing risk of hypothermia from winter conditions. Needs continue to outpace the ability of humanitarian groups to respond in light of ongoing obstacles. The groups themselves continue to highlight that Israel is not allowing enough aid to enter into the enclave.
That press review and report were from France 24, which may be easily found at their website, france24.com, as well as on a YouTube channel called France 24 English. Also, podcast sites. On to NHK Japan. The Thai Prime Minister dissolved parliament and will have new elections in 2 months, and the border war with Cambodia continues. European leaders have proposed a multinational force to guarantee Ukrainian security. A hardline right-wing leader won the presidency in Chile. NHK Japan.
Thailand will hold a general election within the next 60 days after Prime Minister Anutin Chanwirakul dissolved parliament. In a royal decree released on Friday, Anutin said his administration had been unable to govern with stability as a minority government. The decision comes as Thai politics has reached an impasse. Former Prime Minister Pathong Tan Chinawat was ousted over her handling of a border dispute with Cambodia. Anutin took office with the backing of the largest opposition party, but his government later faced mounting political conflict, including disagreements over constitutional reform. Now, Thailand has seen frequent changes of government in recent years. There have already been three prime ministers since the last election in 2023. So what should we be watching for as the country heads into another vote?
Well, the election will take place at a particularly difficult moment for the country. Beyond the border conflict, the economy remains sluggish and several regions are still recovering from severe flooding. We asked people on the street for their views on the political move.
I was shocked, particularly because the country is already facing what feels like a wartime situation.
Every time there's an election, you hope things will change for the better and bring more stability. But based on past experience, it's hard to expect too much.
With the vote expected in less than 2 months, some analysts say the clashes with Cambodia could hamper voting, especially as hundreds of thousands of people have been forced to evacuate border areas.
Border clashes between Thailand and Cambodia continue Monday, a week after the fighting reignited. That's despite U.S. President Donald Trump's claim that both sides agreed on a ceasefire. The Thai military said on Sunday that a rocket attack by Cambodia killed a villager near the border. Thailand says this is the first Thai civilian death caused directly by the latest round of fighting. The Cambodian side also accused Thailand of mounting attacks. The country's information minister said a Thai fighter jet dropped bombs near an evacuation camp on Monday. He says the airstrike took place more than 70 kilometers into Cambodian territory. Both countries deny attacking civilian targets. More than 30 people have been killed during the week of clashes, with hundreds of thousands displaced. Regional bloc ASEAN was planning to hold a foreign minister's meeting on Tuesday to discuss the conflict, but share country Malaysia says it was postponed at Thailand's request.
European leaders have proposed creating a multinational force to guarantee Ukraine's security once a ceasefire with Russia is in place. The leaders, including French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, released a joint statement in Berlin on Monday. The statement says Europe would lead the multinational force with support from the United States. It'd be launched with contributions from countries within the framework of the Coalition of the Willing. The statement calls for a legally binding commitment to take measures to restore security in case of a future armed attack. It also asks for a U.S.-led mechanism to monitor the ceasefire. Ukraine would also receive support to sustain its armed forces at a peacetime level of 800,000 troops to deter conflict and defend its territory. The statement says decisions on territory are for the people of Ukraine once robust security guarantees are effectively in place. A hardline right-wing leader will govern Chile for the first time in decades. José Antonio Kast secured a decisive victory in Sunday's election in the South American country. He campaigned on deporting illegal immigrants and beefing up the border. Kast won 58% of the vote, while leftist candidate Yanet Jara garnered almost 42%. Chileans have been expressing concerns over deteriorating public safety and blame immigration. Kast pledges to fix things. He also says his administration will work hard to recover tranquility, order, growth, and hope. In Chile, the center-right and the left-wing parties have controlled the government for a long time. But Western media outlets say Chile's government could become the most right-wing since the end of General Augusto Pinochet's military dictatorship in 1990. In recent years, a growing number of right-wing leaders have been elected across Latin America. Observers are focusing on whether this trend will spread to other countries like Brazil. Its presidential election is slated for next year. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio congratulated Cass's victory. He says Washington looks forward to working with the new administration to strengthen regional security and revitalize trade.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan on shortwave. They're heard at 9 p.m. at 11735 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. NHK may also be found at most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could help support this show like listeners in Cleveland and Nevada did this week, PayPal contact information is available at my website, outfarpress.com, or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. I am truly grateful for donations, which are essential for the weekly production and distribution of this show, which I supply freely to more than 100 radio stations around the world. And if you're listening on a public radio station, please support them as well. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. The U.S. military says it has destroyed 3 more boats allegedly running drugs to the U.S. There was a summit of ALBA, the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of America. They condemned the recently published U.S. National Security Strategy, which is aimed at reaffirming the Monroe Doctrine. The UN Special Rapporteur on Palestine, Francesca Albanese, says the financial burden for rebuilding the Gaza Strip has to be borne by Israel and its supporters, namely the US, Germany, Italy, and the UK. Israel continues to violate the ceasefire. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The Pentagon says it has blown up 3 more boats in the Eastern Pacific, killing 8 people. Black and white video posted to social media by U.S. Southern Command shows 3 vessels erupting into flames. The Pentagon claimed without evidence whatsoever that the boats were carrying drugs in international waters. The latest strikes bring the Pentagon's announced death toll to 95 since early September. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and other rights groups have strongly condemned the strikes as murder and state sanctioned killings of civilians who were denied any due process. The attacks come as U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order declaring fentanyl to be a weapon of mass destruction. Trump said, "No bomb does what this is doing. 200,000 to 300,000 people die every year that we know of. So we're formally classifying fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction." Experts say that virtually no illicit fentanyl goes into the United States from either Colombia or Venezuela. And last year, the Center for Disease Controls in Atlanta, Georgia, the CDC, reported that only 48,000 deaths from these synthetic drugs, not the 200,000 to 300,000 deaths that Trump claims. The will of the heads of state and government of ALBA TCP to advance and overcome threats and adversity was evident at the recently concluded 25th summit of the Latin American and Caribbean Integration Bloc. The meeting, held virtually with 9 member countries, the 13-point final declaration reaffirmed the unwavering commitment to further deepening the Bolivarian doctrine, thought, and actions. The summit deemed it incompatible with any form of hegemony, domination, or imperial tutelage. The ALBA Declaration condemned in the strongest terms the declared purpose of the recently published U.S. National Security Strategy aimed at reaffirming the obsolete and historically defeated Monroe Doctrine. It also censored the act of piracy committed by the United States government in attacking and seizing a Venezuelan oil tanker in the Caribbean Sea, an act it considered a violation of international law and an attack on the sovereignty of Venezuela. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Palestine, Francesca Albanese, has said that the financial burden of rebuilding the Gaza Strip has to be borne by the Israeli regime and several of its key supporters, including the United States, Germany, Italy, and the UK. Speaking yesterday, Friday, at the event hosted by the Open Data Institute Global Research Center in London, Albanese argued that responsibility for the reconstruction lies with those who have enabled the regime's atrocities in the past. She stressed that accountability has to extend beyond Tel Aviv itself to states that had provided political, military, and material backing for the aggression that has beset Gaza since October of 2023, when the regime began subjecting the Palestinian territory to a Western-backed war of genocide. According to Albanese, the situation across the Palestinian territories would not be fully understood without examining its colonial history. She said that recent events had been viewed in the context of ongoing atrocities over the past 10 years. By recent developments, the UN official was apparently referring to the regime's deadly violations against a ceasefire deal that is to be expected to end the genocide. However, it has not ended the genocide. The genocide continues, and Israel has broken the so-called ceasefire agreement over 600 times. Hundreds of people have been killed during the violations, in addition to the tens of thousands that the genocide has already claimed. Albanese addressed the impact of the U.S. sanctions that have been imposed on her over her outspoken support for Palestinian rights, saying that the measures have severely disrupted both her personal and professional life. She said the sanctions restricted her ability to travel to the United States, prevented her from opening bank accounts, adding that the effects extend way beyond U.S. jurisdiction and applied globally. Reiterating her call for financial accountability over the campaigns of bloodshed and destruction waged against Gaza, Albanese said that the Israeli regime must pay for the reconstruction of the territory and that countries supplying weapons, specifically naming the United States, Germany, Italy, and the UK, also have to assume responsibility. Francisca Albanese further pointed out that Brazil's support for the regime, including through military bases involved in the Cypriot administration, warranted investigation. Calling for urgent action, Francesca Albanese urged the UN committee and the international community to activate accountability mechanisms without delay, warning that the humanitarian crisis throughout the Palestinian territories continues to deteriorate and requires immediately international response. Meanwhile, Israel continues to violate the October 10th ceasefire agreement. Witnesses say Israeli military vehicles opened fire yesterday on the northern parts of a refugee camp in central Gaza, while other areas inside the militarily controlled yellow line came under airstrikes and artillery fire. This comes as new satellite images show that Israel continues to demolish buildings in areas that is being occupied now since the ceasefire.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well most of the time at radiohc.cu, but there's no podcast. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 6 p.m. to midnight and at 6000. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Standard Time. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online support. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 29th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.